Welcome to the Wallace Show Aftercast, those things we didn't get to during the course of the show today. You know, there's a lot of talk about the war going on in Gaza, and there's another war that's still going on that's now 2 years. It's the Ukraine war. And when Russia invaded Ukraine, it's hard to believe it's gone 2 years, two winters, because they were very concerned about that in the original part of the war. But I came across this article that I was really surprised that they've lowered the military age of for conscription from 27 to 25. Conscription, you guys know what that is? It's basically the draft.
Yeah.
So
not something we have to deal with as a
not anymore.
The United States. In yeah, you're right, in the modern USA.
When the Gulf War first started, I was still in college, and the first Gulf War, and there was talk that they might institute a draft.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, wow, that would hit me directly. And like when my dad was...
You wouldn't make it.
No. I would do better than the kids today, for sure.
No.
No,
because,
I would.
No, because they won't even hire you for the church protection group.
That's to protect
thing.
Other people.
See, that's what I'm saying. Nobody can trust you.
No, if they just... Okay, that's because things get confusing. But if they put me somewhere and they say, point that way... I'm going to be fine. Like I am very jumpy.
Even then, I don't know.
Well, I know. Well, that's it. You know, you bring this up because in Ukraine, they actually have a rule that Ukrainian men younger than 60 cannot leave the country. Like they have, because they get called up. The average age of a Ukrainian soldier is 40 years old.
Whoa.
So these are grown, way grown men fighting for their country, which is crazy. Because normally you think it's the 18-year-olds. Because 18-year-olds, I remember my dad used to tell me this. I'm like, why do they draft like 18-year-old kids? Because they will listen and they will do what they're told to do. Even when things sound crazy, they'll do it. Like you're 40, you got kids, you go, I don't think I want to run over there and jump on that thing.
Right.
You know? But when you're a kid, you're like, yeah, I'll do it, you know?
So then why is the average age 40 and not 18 over there?
Well, because they had a higher draft age, it was 27, but then it's also just the dynamics of the people there. They're older, you know, and so they're adopting that or adjusting that so that they can have younger people fight in this war. I think they have about 1 million soldiers totally right now, and they were considering calling up like 500,000 more people, which is crazy too, because I saw a thing that said that'll cost them $14 billion to do this. And you're like, so Russia starts this thing, unprovoked, Russia does this, destroys big parts of their country, then is destroying them financially, is destroying them on a human basis, all because of Putin's craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so sad to me that that is the world that we live in, and he gets away with it unchecked by and large.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all condemn it. We're like, you're horrible. Well, he's still doing it. You know, and I think that that is crazy. But it did make me think of this, though. You were kind of making fun of me. Like, if we had a draft today, that would terrify me. Kids that want to go into the military because they have military families or they're just predisposed to, hey, I want to do this. God bless you. I'm all for it. You go. And you will do well. And I appreciate
yes.
you. Yes. But taking Timmy, who...
or Gavin.
Yeah, or Gavin. or Hayden.
Hayden.
Don't let
Can
him
you
serve.
Imagine?
Yeah. If there was a draft and Hayden got drafted, he's like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. Are we going to be able to still paint my nail? You know?
Your nail?
Yeah, he just wants nail.
I can't
one.
Dye my hair blue anymore.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
I can't even
shave it?
Imagine
what that
would be.
I have an intolerance to gluten.
Yes, exactly. Is this ready to eat meal? This what do they call it? RMEs or whatever. MREs. Meal ready to eat. Is this MRE, is this gluten-free? Or is it vegan?
Yeah, I'm a vegan, and if I don't eat vegan, I'll have a tender tummy.
Terrifies
and no one
me.
Wants me to have a tender tummy.
Terrifies me. If we had to do a draft today, good Lord.
Oh, gosh, I know. What is the drafting age here?
18
to what?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the top end is.
Yeah, would you be at the top end? Or
oh,
you
I'd be way out.
Oh, yeah, he'd be
in
out.
In the military, I think the Navy had the latest... You could enlist was in your like late 30s.
Well, it's 18 through 25.
Okay, so that's the draft.
So you wouldn't have to go, Gavin.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. When I think it was Vietnam happening, they were drafting in different ways. They were drafting 18-year-olds or 18-year-olds. They were drafting like 18-year-olds not in college. Then they were drafting like 18-year-old college kids. Then they were drafting people with one kid or two kids. You know, like they kept changing for the draft. And my dad kept missing it because like when they were drafting people with no kids, he had one kid. And then when they were drafting people with two kids, he had two kids, you know.
Also, I would assume that if just modern day, if we had a draft for my for those 18 to 25 year old people in America, I would guess that that would be all men, to like all
not
boys.
Now.
Do you legitimately think that they would draft
women
like every single well,
that's
every
a
last
that's
person.
A really good point
that's
because
my question
all men have to.
We would have to.
I think you have to still sign up for selective service.
But what if you do not identify as a male?
Then it gets really murky.
What if you're transgender?
Yeah, exactly.
Because then can they make, and let's say for instance, that you are a female that has transgendered into a male.
Right.
And then they're saying all males have to be in the draft.
You should have to get drafted.
Would you de-transgender?
Right.
Or what would you do? I don't know.
We're obviously in like the age where consent is such a huge word.
Right.
Right now, and you would have a lot of people saying, like, I didn't consent to having to serve my country that gives me everything that I need.
Yeah, I signed up for the draft when I was 18. You had to. It was by law. I don't know if it's still the thing or not.
I don't remember doing.
Yeah, it might not be a thing. I don't know. Kevin,
they're like, don't worry.
Find
about
out
it.
He's a draft dodger.
No, I was thinking.
But would women be draft? Like, would they do it for women too?
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
Now women can serve. You know,
right, and so they want equal rights.
You should be. So, it should be a draft for you too. Israel, women and men serve. All these other countries,
they have to.
Yes, they have to
do
2 years.
Equal pay argument.
They
feel
might.
Like equal
you
draft.
Know what I could see them doing? They could say yes, females have to be drafted, but they're going to give them jobs that are not.
Sure.
Maybe they're
combat.
More, yeah,
but
maybe they're more on the. Back
but
in,
see, that's the thing, though, is for the longest time, that was the first evolution of women being in the military. They were non-combat.
Yeah, they worked on the planes.
Right, they were non-combat positions.
Mm-hmm.
But as I understand it now, there are more women seeing combat. Now, are they seeing door-to-door combat?
No.
Or are they, I think they're just in combat area.
Yeah.
You're on forward operating bases. And I know women have been in firefights, but I don't know that they weren't on a search and, you know, a mission to do that. But I could be totally wrong.
I believe, and I'm ready to be told that I'm wrong, but I believe it would do the young generation a lot of good if they were made to do 2 years.
Those 18 to 25 year olds need it.
Boy, I'll tell you.
But like, instead of going to college and racking up all this debt, you tell them you have to go. And at least
Korea.
Do 2 years.
I know. See, that's the problem.
And
that's,
then you go.
Korean,
do
like
whatever
the,
you want.
Is it South Korea, North Korea, like, actually has their...
But it would give them some discipline.
While I agree with you, it's one of the basic tenets of freedom that we have, that we don't enact the draft unless we have to, you know? And so for me, like, when I was 18, being told I had to do something would have been horrible for me.
You needed the discipline.
But I would have washed out because
also,
I would not
would
have taken
it. Also, they
would
have given you vegetables. And
I would have died.
You would have ran?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have ran.
You
would have
died.
I would have died.
He wouldn't have made it.
You just said a minute ago, you said if they had drafted you.
I would have died. Like, I wouldn't have made it. Like I wouldn't have run.
Oh,
I'm not a draft dodger.
Oh,
he's not a coward.
Okay. Like Gavin.
No. Yeah.
I don't draft dodge.
Yeah. Allegedly.
You know what you're becoming? You're becoming like Larry, Gary, Jerry on Parks and Rec.
We just make up stuff with him about him.
Poor Gavin.
Your argument about it being inherently, it would be, I think, inherently good for younger kids to have a season of life where they.
Have to.
Or, you know, that do something like that. That
is
really
focused on
teamwork.
And maybe it would help them appreciate the country that they live in.
I wish there was a way to do that without forcing someone into service.
Yes.
Because, I mean, going through boot camp and all that. I mean, it definitely changes you. But not everybody's wired to handle that.
The vast majority of us probably aren't built to handle, you know, what it takes.
But is that our downfall?
Now, I do believe that we should be much better at instilling pride in this country. You know, and I know then it gets into a whole murky thing about race versus we're never going to be able to zero it out. This is the problem. We can never zero this out, this issue out, and say, okay, this was a really bad stain on our history. It was horrible, and it should never have happened. It should never continue to happen. So that happened, but now we're zeroing it out. We're moving forward as a new country of just people who happen to live here now. What is our culture? How do we get past this? How do we create this new culture as we move forward that we are one? And we're just never going to get there, unfortunately. I wish we would, because I would love to see people be taught more to have respect for this country and to have respect mm-hmm. for the flag. I mean, we have people that pee all over it. It's disgusting, you know? Mm-hmm. And complain about how horrible, you know, this is still a great country. You want to know how great this country is, go to another one. Yeah. You know, like, meet people from China.
Yeah.
People from China that I met on a vacation were like, oh, yeah, we only have one kid. And she was like, because we were only allowed to. What? That story's real about the government telling you can only have one child? That's real? Oh, yeah, that's real. The story's in China, and I asked him a bunch of other things. Like, oh, yeah, that's all real. Like, oh, my gosh, we would lose our minds. We live in an amazing country.
To sidestep this conversation,
I just
want to
make America great again. Just kidding.
To sidestep just a little bit, it reminded me that yesterday, because I was thinking to myself, okay, the cutoff age is 25. Why would they cut it off at 25? I mean, Gavin, you're 28. Right?
Yeah.
And I would think, well, that's still young.
Sure.
But then I was reminded in my head that just yesterday, something happened where Gavin was sitting at his desk and he needed to turn around.
Oh, yeah.
And when he did,
I pushed your chair
he
with my
let
leg.
Out yeah. a pitiful, and we said, Wally was
I
like, are
up,
you okay? He grabbed at his hip and he was like, I think I pulled my hip at 28.
Yeah. Now, you know, that's a byproduct tough. Of my lack of, you know, exercise and lack of, yeah. you know, physical application.
So maybe it is good that they cut the age off at 25. The 28-year-olds are having hips displaced.
They don't get 22-year-olds don't, like, push someone with their leg and get, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Take sick leave.
It's funny. I mentioned Make America Great Again. This is really
yes.
funny. The House Republicans have introduced a bill to rename Washington Dulles International Airport to rename it in honor of President Donald Trump. They are just going to drive people in D.C. insane.
That's way better than getting a street named after you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so great. I mean, if they really wanted to do this, like, they just have to say that the guy who it's named after was a racist, and then everyone would want to change it. But apparently it was named after John Foster Dulles, who served as the Secretary of State back under Eisenhower. So it's been in place for a while. But the debate online, which is really funny, this is why I bring this up, is really funny. The bill referred to as House Transportation Infrastructure Committee. It was the deputy whip, that's a position inside of Congress, said that... freedom, prosperity, strength. That's what America stood for under the leadership of Donald J. Trump, the best president of my lifetime. And that's why I'm introducing the legislation to rename Dulles as Donald J. Trump International Airport. Okay, so he does that. So then, of course, on the other side, there is a great comment from Representative Jerry Conley. He says, Donald Trump is facing 91 felony charges. If Republicans want to name something after him, I'd suggest a federal prison.
Oh, my gosh.
That just shows that...
It's fun, but that's funny.
The comment section of anything is way better than the actual content.
Like, I'm bipartisan when it comes to humor. Like, and to me, that's funny. Like, I'm not a Democrat. I never will be. And I'm conservative. I'm a Republican. But his statement is far better than the Republican statement on there. That was just really funny. So good on you for that, sir. I can appreciate the humor on both sides of the aisle. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Speaking of humor.
I love humor.
I've got an article I found. And it's this TikToker. She posted a video where she accused Saturday Night Live, a show that's been going on since the 70s.
Oh, yeah, at least, yeah.
That they will not hire hot women for their staff.
This was an article you found?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if you're a woman on that show? You've got to be bothered by that.
Exactly. So she said, you know, like, and you think about it, all those skits that you watch on SNL, they do have female comedians
right.
on there, But this TikToker is saying, but none of them are considered hot.
Right.
But she is saying that SNL does that on purpose because the males cannot accept that hot women can also be funny.
Ah.
And she also pointed out that if you think about it, Jimmy Fallon, Andy Samberg, and Jason Sudeikis. She was like, they are considered hot. And so they will hire men to be on the show and
Andy
do the skits.
Andy Samberg? I don't know about that. That's a stretch.
But you would for Jimmy Fallon.
Definitely. He's just a cutie patootie.
But all that to say is that does she have a point? Some are saying yes and some are saying no.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's funny because
watch your words.
She is being disrespectful to the women on the show. This is breaking woman code.
I'm surprised
this is from a woman saying they don't hire hot women. So if you are, what's the girl that does the thing? Kate McKinnon. You got to be like, okay, wait. So I'm not hot. Okay, I'm just funny. I'm not. So she's making a value judgment against other women. Mm-hmm. Now that said, she's not wrong in that most women that are funny are not typically the women that would be considered gorgeous. Like, look at Carol Burnett. Carol Burnett, not hard on the eyes. She's not a radiant beauty, but she's extremely funny. Mm-hmm. There are so many women that are extremely funny, but they're not considered historically beautiful. Now, why is that? I don't think that SNL is like, oh, we can't hire hot women because it's a threat and guys won't watch it. I just don't think that a lot of great-looking women are funny, and it's because they probably haven't had to develop that part of their sense of humor. Like, I think we all develop in a different way. Like, I'm not a good-looking guy, and so I developed a sense of humor. Had I been a good-looking guy, I might not be funny. I might be completely different because I had different doors that opened for me because I was good-looking. I think when it comes to women, if you look at them, historically funny women, they're average looking usually, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so I think that it's just a byproduct of this is the part of their personality that got magnified because they opened these other doors. Now, all of that to say, Betty is extremely funny. I find Betty very funny, and I find you far above average. Okay. So this rule that they're talking about does not apply to you. Yeah.
Thanks. You're so far above average. Yeah.
So it does not apply to you. This rule does not apply to you.
You're saying that if a woman walked in to audition for SNL and she wore, I don't know, what men would consider hot. She's wearing heels and she's wearing short dress and red, whatever.
Right.
And she was funny.
Right.
Do you think that the cast or the people that are responsible, would they hire her?
Absolutely, I think they would hire her. I don't think that girl exists, is what I'm saying.
Is that sexist, though?
It's not sexist if it's true.
How do you know that it's true?
Find me a really hot comedian. Like, do that. Like, also, just do it.
If you barrel into, let's say, if you go down to the scope of high school. So let me ask this question to you, Wally.
Yes.
If you had been a 6'1", smoking hot jock.
I could have been, but then life happened.
Not even close.
But God happened.
So if that had happened, and let's say you did still have like the personality traits that you do have, but you were in the frame of the 6'1", athletic, could do all
those
types of things.
I'd be unstoppable.
What, like, do you think you would have leaned so heavily into humor as a way to impress people, or do you think that you would have naturally been impressive to people?
Yes.
And that would have led to other things happening,
absolutely,
let's say, in your life.
Absolutely. Good-looking people get breaks that non-good-looking people don't get. It's just, it is the way it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me point this out.
Okay.
So I think that this woman that posted this video has a point when she says, you look at Jimmy Fallon, not Andy Samberg.
No.
Jason that was a weird one.
None of those guys are hot.
Jimmy Fallon?
These are like dad
people. He's cute.
They're also
Colin, what's his face, that's married to Scarlett Johansson?
Oh, Colin Jost.
Jost.
Yeah. I would say, is good looking.
Handsome dude.
Okay. So why is it that it can't be true for men, but it can be true for women, that because a woman was not hot, she had to develop her humor. Well, if Jimmy Fallon was a good looking guy and so was Colin what's his face, well then why did his humor get developed?
But the thing is, but go through like those are the outliers. Go through most comedians.
There outliers
go through most
then?
Comedians.
No, if you were to, I would say that one way you would look at this is if you went to, let's say, Netflix and you clicked on the comedy or comedian stand-up comedy section, then like I would say then go through and dive and see like the, let's say, the physical attributes of the people.
Comedians are average looking. Look at Jerry Seinfeld, average looking guy. Nate Bargatze, please forgive me, average looking guy. You know, like none of these guys, none of these guys are standout. look at comedian, women comedian, Ellen, average looking. Shonda Pierce.
Okay.
What about Angela Johnson? Now she's
good looking. Yeah,
yeah.
And she, but it blows your whole theory because she was on the show Mad TV. So she was on a Saturday Night Live type show. So
is she an outlier?
She would be. She is a good looking person.
So I just showed you.
But no. But she's marginally funny.
But then you have like Sarah Silverman.
She's not super funny.
Marginally funny.
She's not super funny.
Okay. So is this that you're just being sexist and saying that women aren't as funny?
I'm not being sexist. I'm just saying, prove to me that there is this community of smoking hot women that also have comedy specials. No, it just doesn't happen.
And it's the same statement that like the vast majority of, again,
guys.
Go to Netflix and you go, my favorite comedian in the world, and again, I don't recommend people go watch this guy, but his name is Bert Kreischer. Right. His whole stand-up act is that he takes off his shirt and he's just like a dad bod.
I did that for a while too. I was big into that comedy.
Just go look at male comedians.
Look at Jim Gaffigan.
They're not going to look that impressive.
No.
They're not.
There's a reason that you develop comedy because you don't have the other stuff working for you.
But is it that the comedy is more of a male-dominated area?
For sure.
They just won't let the female outshine them.
I think we're moving into an era where there are more female comedians, though.
Oh, for sure.
I think for a while there, if you were a female comedian, you were an absolute rare gem.
Mm-hmm. Women and men have different senses of humor. And you know this, Rock. You and I have a very different sense of humor. There's times you're like, that's not funny. And I'm like, it's definitely funny.
There's a lot of times I say
I know, and we're doing it. You know, like there's a definite difference in the way women structure comedy, and it doesn't appeal to a lot, like the masses, you know. Now they're successful in their world. You look at some women that were great comedians, like Paula Poundstone was a great comedian, I felt, another average looking woman, but like she was really good at her craft. But very few of those women were global, you know, kind of.
Let me point this out, and then maybe this is something. So I think we all would agree that as the world keeps turning, that comedy has gotten dirtier and dirtier.
For sure.
Like the comedians are leaning more on cursing and
that's why Bargatze's great, because he doesn't.
So if the world is leaning more towards that's what's comedy, is the cursing and talking about vulgar things, would you agree that if a woman watches another woman talk like that up on stage, she's not going to admire her? And the same could be said for men as well. Do men really want a girl that's up on stage being that funny?
You're making a great point.
Not being that funny, but being vulgar.
This is
different.
This is a good point.
Would you say that women have it harder to be comedians because men can get away with being vulgar or being nasty more than women have to? So women have to be funny, clean, and it takes more work.
We laugh at the fart jokes that guys make, and then obviously you amp that up for our society per se, and that's something that we'll laugh at. You can make those jokes, and I'm going to laugh, but
you don't want a woman saying those things
because
it feels crass.
It does, it doesn't,
because you're
so
supposed
would you say
to be better than us.
The bar is set different for women comedians.
I agree
than
with
men
that.
Comedians.
I 100% agree with that. I went to a comedy show. My friend Molly, God bless her, for Greg's birthday, was like, let's go to a comedy club. We haven't been in a lot of years. This will be fun. So she doesn't look at who's on the bill at all. And we just go. We are the only four white people. It was like a black comedian night. Uh-huh. And it was like, oh, we're going to be targets all night long. And rightfully so. You're in a comedy club. You get what you get. And we were. But it was funny. It was a great night. But the first lady comedian out of the gate was vulgar. Like, mm-hmm. she wasn't vulgar for a woman. She was vulgar for a guy. Mm-hmm. And it was, and there's two different standards, and that's wrong. But it was so bad. Like, none of the women were not laughing. It was so uncomfortable. And I do think you're right that women have a different barometer by how they're judged. And they have a different barometer by how they're judged in business. You know, you take a guy that's strong and demanding and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and you call a woman a different word for this, doing mm-hmm. the exact same thing. Yeah. It's a double standard, and it's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, so when it comes to comedy, yeah, you could say that there's a disadvantage on that thing. But I would disagree with you in that I think comedy is having a different resurgence thanks to guys like Nate Bargatze and Dry Bar Comedy and things working cleaner. Every comedy club has guys that work really blue and it's vulgar and it's mm-hmm. bad. But yeah. I think there's actually a resurgence of actually moving farther from that.
Well, I hope you're right, because yeah. to me, I think there's more respect when it comes to comedians like Nate Bargatze yeah. because he's working on the level that I guess women comedians are having to work on.
And he's wildly successful.
And he's doing it well. Yeah. Whereas you have other people like, what's the
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Right. Horrible.
Yeah. And his stand-up's not funny.
Yeah, but there's other people that are like that, they're leaning so much on being dirty
yeah.
that they're just wanting people to laugh.
Absolutely.
And so I think that there is more respect for the clean comedians, but not the cheesy.
Women phrase, this is the thing, if you look at who consumes comedy, I would venture to say it's more it's more men. Hmm. And so the thing about that is where if you already take somebody that their frame of reference is different, there's going to be a disconnect. Like the way you process a situation, like you look at Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld was situational humor. He's very good at it. Mm-hmm. Doing situational humor is not easy to do. Everyone thinks it is. The genius is in doing it well, but women look at situations differently. Mm-hmm. And so their perspective on a situational joke might not land with half the audience if it's guys, because they're like, well, that's not funny. I don't see it that mm-hmm. way, you know? And it's not a wrong thing. It's just mm-hmm. we're wired differently. So the women that can be funny to men and women, that's golden. But I will say you're on point with it's harder for a woman to be that. It's very harder.
Yeah, because
very
I think as men, y'all don't want to bring home to your mom a woman that's super vulgar.
No.
Can talk about things that you
right.
talk about with your other guy friends.
Right.
Like, there's a degree where you don't really want that.
My sense of humor, yeah, I definitely don't want that in women. And my sense of humor, especially after really consuming like Nate Bargatze's comedy, I'm like, I have less of a tolerance for the guys that just swear to swear mm-hmm. or are vulgar to be vulgar. I find that less appealing now. Mm-hmm.
It's lazy.
That's exactly it. It's lazy comedy. I can always handle blue humor and dark humor when it's funny. When it's crafted well, it doesn't bother me. And so if a lady takes a joke that's super dark, but she crafts it well, I can find the appreciation in that. There was some TikTok, some lady did something the other day that it was so dark. But I like sent it to my daughter. I'm like, you'll appreciate this. Because my daughter has a modified guy sense of humor. She still definitely has the girl perspective on things, but she's grown up with me, so mm-hmm. she understands.
That's how I feel like I do with my dad. Like yeah. we have the same sense of humor.
Right.
Both the same thing can crack us both up, and
right.
my mom doesn't get it at all.
Right.
And I think the same could be said for both of us.
Absolutely.
But to a degree. Like
right.
I would say, like you're saying Jerry Seinfeld or whatever.
Right.
Well, who was the woman that worked with him on
Elaine.
Seinfeld? Okay. So I thought she had great comedy.
She's really good.
Yeah. But she worked well with him, but
right.
she also brought the female perspective.
Right.
Whereas Jerry could get away with more than Elaine could.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Oh, no.
And she was cute.
Yeah. And yeah, she's an example of somebody who's really good looking. But like if you were to go see her stand-up, it's not,
it wouldn't land.
But in her role, she was fantastic, and she elevated that show, hands down. I don't think I think the problem is we look at things and we try to rank it, or we try to assess it as good or as bad, or it has to be this. That's part of the problem with this, because then it sounds like you're judging women. I think that it's just different standards for what is funny, and I can, 9 times out of 10, I can watch a movie and I can tell you that the woman is a writer. And the reason is because of the flow, the cadence, how it's written, the sense of humor. Like, I don't have to know anything about the movie, but I can usually tell because of that style, mm-hmm. you know? And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? It's just a different style. But I love talking comedy stuff. I enjoy this. But I think that that's one of the reasons you and I have always clicked, because not to say that you're one of the boys, but you, because you have your limits too, and you are like, okay, you're crossing that line, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've learned to respect that with you, because for the first half of our career together, my whole aim was to purposely step across that line three times.
Skip over it.
Yeah, and then make you get even more and more uncomfortable, you know? And then I've learned that, you know, with us working together, it's healthier if I walk up to that line. I'll tiptoe over it now, and then apologize, and then go back. Respecting that you have, like, you and I don't have the same boundaries when it comes to yes. comedy. But on the basic premise of what's funny, we're 95% the same. You know. And that's a good thing. That's how you design morning shows to be successful.
And ultimately, what I took away from this conversation was that you both agree with me. And
I don't know
I
how
have
you
a great
got.
Point.
This is how women perceive things differently than
I
men.
I do have a great point, and my point was better than every other point that was.
You know what?
Brought up.
I'm glad you feel that way, and I'm happy for you. Do you have any birthdays?
I don't.
Okay. Wow. We've had no birthdays in a while.
I have questions, but
we've got to hold them for today, for tomorrow. But we will get to them tomorrow. But hey, yeah. You know what? We've always made birthdays the thing of getting questions. If you want to just submit questions without birthdays, I'm fine with that. So really, if you want to just go to the birthday form for now, we might actually change this in the future and maybe not do birthdays, but just do questions, because I love the questions, honestly. But for now, until we make that decision, if you want to go to the birthdays, what is it, Rock?
Just text shout out.
Oh, there you go. Yay! It.
One word. Shout one out. Word. Okay. Shout out to 91979.
And then you can give us a question, and who knows, maybe your question will make it on the aftercast. So there you go. That's going to do it. And thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.